I'm not a genetic freak. I didn't grow up playing football or anything like that. And I'm now in my late 30s, lifting things that I couldn't lift when I was 20 years old. And that's awesome to me and impressive to me. And that's what I love about the sport is now I coach other people to do the same thing.
Hey there, gang. Welcome back to Future Proof. Bill Sheridan here. Glad you're here. Glad to be here. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. Some well-deserved time off. Hope you're well-rested because we're back at it now, folks. Stretch run through the December holidays and the end of the year, then moving right into busy season, legislative season. It's going to be a whirlwind, no doubt. So enjoy yourselves while you can. Let's get things kicked off this week. This week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So this week's show, we're doing something a little different this week. I wanted to give our listeners a look at the private lives of CPAs. I've been wanting to do that for a while now. You know, we all know what you do on the job, right? But you know what you all do when you clock out at the end of the day. That's what I've been kind of thinking about, right? What are your passions, your hobbies, the stuff that you do on the life side of your work-life balance? Because, you know, I know a lot of you, and y'all do some pretty intense stuff in your downtime. And I don't know, I think that's worth sharing. You know, that's the kind of stuff that keeps us grounded, right? We've all seen the headlines about how COVID has made us all more stressed out and burned out and anxious than ever. And I mean, personal wellness and well-being and mental health are more important, I would argue, than they've ever been. And certainly more of us are paying attention to them now than ever. And I think passions really go a long way toward keeping us sane, right? I did an interview back in 2019 with Alan Jagelinzer, who is the professor of financial accounting, the head of the accounting faculty subject group, and the director of the Center for Financial Reporting and Accountability at the Judge Business School at the University of Cambridge, where he has helped develop leadership, innovation, and change management degree programs for accountants. He's also counseled many, many accounting students there about their careers and their futures, and he's seen some things that trouble him when it comes to these future professionals' well-being. And what he's seen basically are students, you know, not all of them, but some, who are freaking out a bit about the prospect of spending their careers trying to climb the ladder in public accounting with its long hours, you know, doing work that doesn't necessarily jibe with their passions and strengths and purpose in life. And here's his point, and he should know, really, because he's worked closely with a lot of these young professionals, and he knows exactly what many of them are going through, right? The often unforgiving and unrelenting expectations of life in a public accounting firm are taking a huge physical and mental toll on the young professionals, some of the young professionals, let's say, in our profession. And, you know, we're talking about things like depression and anxiety and substance abuse. And Alan Jagelinzer has seen all of that. And it's driving some of these young, talented professionals away from our profession and kind of creating a talent crisis of sorts in the process. And it doesn't have to be that way, right? If we can connect these young professionals with work that's meaningful to them, you know, work that serves a purpose greater than just making money, that truly makes a difference, they'll stay. Right? It's the old kind of tired, cliched Simon Sinek mantra, right? People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And that it works, and it goes for your employees too, right? One story that kind of struck me, Alan sat down with one distraught student and listened to her anxieties and fears about what was to come. And he asked her a simple question. He said, "What are you passionate about?" And she said that, you know, she loves the outdoors, right? Camping, hiking, all that stuff. And he responded by saying, "Well, you know, companies like REI have accounting and finance departments too." And his point, I thought, was brilliant, but it came down to this. You can combine the things that you're passionate about with a career in this profession and enjoy both, right? Recruiting new talent by connecting them to their why and retaining them by giving them work that they're passionate about. I don't know, pretty cool idea. Anyway, all of that is just some interesting thoughts to kind of get us into this week's show, which is all about the things that we're passionate about, the things that get us jazzed and drive us. And my guest this week is passionate about some really interesting stuff. He is Barrett Young. Barrett is a partner at Garberman Winslow CPAs. That's a firm in Southern Maryland. And I didn't want to talk to him as a CPA, though. I wanted to talk to him because he's a strongman competitor. Okay. You know what strongman is, right? Probably seen those competitions on TV where people are lifting rocks or logs or, you know, pulling trucks or flipping huge tires. That's strongman. And that's what Barrett does and loves. And, you know, I follow Barrett on various social channels, and I've seen some of the photos that he posts from some of these events. And I was just dying to know more about how a CPA gets involved in something like this. Not your run-of-the-mill stuff. So that's what we're talking about this week, folks. Strongman CPAs. And this is a fun one. So kick back, enjoy. Here is my conversation with Barrett Young. Where did your interest, your passion in this really come from? I know you said it was kind of related to working with CrossFit and things mm-hmm. like that, but why the interest, I guess? What do you love about this thing?
Sure. So I started doing CrossFit 7 years ago or so, maybe 8. And I'm not very good at it. I am a big guy. CrossFit seems to favor smaller guys, faster guys, but I knew what it was. I saw a gym. I'd been following CrossFit since my days in the Marine Corps, 2005. I think I had a gunnery sergeant who introduced me to CrossFit. And then through that, at the gym that I was going to, we would always be squatting and deadlifting, overhead pressing, various things that make you stronger to be better at CrossFit. And I started to realize I enjoyed those a lot more than I enjoyed the box jumps and the sprints and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I went from that into powerlifting, and then pretty quickly after doing 3 or 4 competitive powerlifting meets, got bored of just always squatting, benching, and deadlifting, and wanted to go back to the variety of CrossFit, which is one of its strengths for me and my personality type, but also wanted to still work with the heavy implements. And that's where Strongman came in.
So talk about the variety here. I mean, sure. You're not lifting, you know, plates and what most people would think of when you think of weightlifting. What are you actually doing in Strongman?
Yeah. So Strongman actually got started as a TV show. A lot of people remember it fondly from the 80s and 90s, watching it on TV when it was on broadcast TV. 1977 was the first World's Strongest Man competition. And it brought in people who were bodybuilders, powerlifters, football players, construction workers, brought them to this kind of freak show TV program.
The one thing I always remember is the one where they're carrying like anchors. Mm-hmm. That one always stuck with me. I don't know why.
So yeah, they just wanted to pull these huge guys together and put them on TV carrying weird things that like people would be like, you can't carry a refrigerator by yourself. Well, they did it. You can't bend metal. Well, they did it. So, and it really goes back to the origins of strongman in the US, at least, are back to the circus days. 150 years ago, the traveling circus, you would have the strong man who would lift things up overhead and, you know, have the stereotypical like leopard skin singlet on with one thing over the shoulder.
Sure.
But there were traveling strongmen who would go around and they would have an implement and they'd invite people up from the audience and say, try and lift it. And nobody would be able to do it. And then they would do it and make it look easy. And that was kind of the base of it. So for me, strongman consists of a handful of events. Overhead pressing is big in strongman. So we like to press logs overhead, but we can also press rocks and barbells and stone blocks and all kinds of stuff overhead. There's deadlifting in strongman. So that is one of the things it has in common with powerlifting. There's moving events. So pulling trucks, flipping tires, walking with a yoke across your back, different things like that. And then there's a lot of grip in strongman, and grip sport is actually its own. There's a heritage of grip sport for the past 100 years also, where people would just with massive hands grab onto stuff and pick up things that most people wouldn't be able to pick up with two hands. Mm-hmm. Grip sport, you do it with one hand and different things like that. So a lot of variety there.
How much weight are we talking about?
So strongman is actually a weight classed sport in the United States and in most of the countries where it's practiced. So you can have team divisions, you can have male and female divisions, you'll have body weight classes. So really the lightest females that'll compete in a competition that I have, our lowest weight class is 132 pounds. And then the heaviest weight class for guys is 308 pounds and higher. Okay. So that's the weight of the athletes that are competing. And I run competitions. I've had teenagers, 14-year-old girls in my competitions. And I've had 60 and 70-year-old, both males and females, in my competitions. Okay. So it's a broad range. I don't think of strongman necessarily as a weight range of the implement, as more of the type of implement that you're doing and the purpose behind it. The purpose behind it is to do something that's heavy for you quickly, rather than endurance wise. To your question, what are we talking about? I've flipped a 700 pound tire. I'm working on a 1,000 pound tire right now. My overhead press is right around the 300 pound range, for a barbell, a little bit lower for a log. The stones that I'm loading, a heavy stone for me would be about the 300-pound range. World's Strongest Man, the world record Atlas stone loaded right now, is Tom Stoltman out of Scotland, and he's loaded a 560-pound concrete Atlas stone.
That's over.
It's crazy. We've seen 1,000-pound deadlifts become very common over the past 10 years. I think there's probably 8 or 9 competitive World's Strongest Man level athletes that have lifted 1,000 pounds. I think we've got probably a half dozen to a dozen females that have broken the 600 pound barrier for a deadlift. So that's kind of the range of what we're looking at.
That's crazy. In terms of the types of things that you're lifting, is it a pretty kind of set range of these objects, or is it just like, you know, picking up whatever looks like what's the most challenging thing that you've had to lift so far?
It can be standard. There can be standard implements in strongman. So every competition is going to be different because the organizer of the competition gets to choose what events that you do.
Okay.
And so that's going to be different than powerlifting or weightlifting, where powerlifting is 3 events, bench press, squat, and deadlift. Weightlifting is the clean and jerk and the snatch that you'd see in the Olympics right now. CrossFit and strongman are both much more variety, where I'm going to pick 5 or 6 events that I want all the athletes to do. And then it's up to me to pick the weight ranges for them and attract people to the competition that want to come do that. So that's where you're going to get a lot more variety. That said, there are very standard events that you'll see in strongman, like Atlas stones that I mentioned. That's a spherical concrete most of the time, rock that's pretty standardized for the size of it and how much it weighs. Farmer's walks, so handles at your side, is a grip workout, walking with that and then doing a turn and coming back. is a pretty standard event. Like I said, deadlift might be on an axle, which is a thicker, up to 3 inches, sometimes thickness bar, or it might be on a barbell. Overhead pressing, log press is the most popular type of press using, they're now made out of steel, but they have handles on them. You'll see that pretty frequently. And then like things like truck pull. So there are some very definitive, this is strongman events. But then beyond that, the organizer can be as creative as possible when they're putting stuff together. So I'm doing a Viking themed competition in November that I'm running. And 2 years ago when I started it, I'm like, it's Vikings, we're going to do a spear throw. And so I bought some college level javelins, which I haven't seen any competitions do that. Uh-huh. But I'm like, let's throw spears. That would be really fun for distance. Nowhere near what the, you know, these are female college level athlete javelins, and they can throw them probably 3 times farther than anybody in the competition sure. would do. But it's just fun to fit into like a biking theme contest like that.
That's really cool. How do you train for something like this? I mean, you know, I can't imagine that there's a lot of these things just kind of lying around that you can go out and I mean, how does all that work?
So I will say most of the training for strongman tends to be the very basic powerlifting or strength themed training. Okay. So most of my training looks like squatting, benching, and squatting, overhead pressing, and deadlifting on a regular basis every week. As much as possible, you want to get exposed to a variety of implements because there are very technical aspects of strongman, but you don't need to go out and do that every single day necessarily unless you're getting bored and you want to change it up. Most strongmen will do like an event day where they'll get together with a bunch of buddies on a Saturday or something like that, and they'll focus specifically on strongman events on that day. But the other 3 or 4 days a week that they're training, it's going to be very, very much focused on building muscle and strength. Gotcha. It can be. There are some people who only ever lift rocks, uh-huh. and that's all they ever want to do. And they have them all in their yard. And that is one of the cool things about strongman is you can collect this stuff gradually over time. And that's what I've done over the past 4 years is just see somebody selling something, say, I want to buy that, go to Lowe's, make something myself. Like you said, the anchors, go to like a thrift store and find something and be like, that anvil looks heavy. I'm going to buy that anvil and we're going to, you know, carry that around.
Yeah. Yeah. The competitions that you're a part of, are these mostly national, local? How does that work?
So in the US, we have 2 federations for strongman official, sanctioned competitions. We've got Strongman Corporation and then United States Strongman. The competitions will be local, meaning I run most of the events in Southern Maryland. There's no like qualification process to become an organizer. You pay the fee, you have a state representative come and help you with your first contest, prove that you can run one. But really it's up to me to decide, do I want this to be a 25-person contest or do I want it to be a 75-person contest? I've had people for my contests within the U.S. come from as far as Wyoming and Colorado and Florida to compete in my contests. I do America's Strongest Veteran, which I started 3 years ago. That's the competition you saw me compete in this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody for my first contest for that. He's a contractor. He flew in from Dubai to compete in that. Okay. Took some leave and came home and competed in that. So they're national in that sense that there's no limit that if you're Maryland resident, you have to compete in Maryland. You can go anywhere you want to. And then because it is a sanctioned contest, if you get first, second, or third place in a contest, you can get an invite to nationals, which happens in both federations. They each have their own nationals event. Okay. And from there, you can go. If you win that, you can become a pro strongman, which means that you've won a nationals event.
Okay. All right. It sounds like the community's pretty tight. I mean, I suppose like anything, there's a pretty big following there if you know what to look for. How popular is this?
So one of my friends, his name's Cale Beck. He was a lightweight strongman competitively about 15 to 10 years ago. Now he coaches mostly, but he runs a group on Facebook called Starting Strongman. Last I looked, I think they're up to 35,000 members in the Facebook group. So, and that's globally in that group. It's not limited, obviously. In Maryland, I would say we probably have 200 to 300 competitive strongmen within the state, spread across 6 to 7 strongman specific gyms, and then in like World Gyms and Gold's Gyms all over the place. So, and then tons of people that just train in their garage and you'll never even see them until a contest. So,
okay.
A nationals event, I think 2 years ago when the United States Strongman did their nationals event, I think there were upwards of about 450 to 500 athletes competing across 2 or 3 days usually.
What do you love about this, Barrett? What keeps you coming back?
So for me, I didn't grow up physical. I loved to read. I loved to be on my computer growing up. Shockingly, joined the Marine Corps at 18. Nobody expected me to do that. That's probably what made me do it. And that told me that running is all that you ever do physical. So you want to get in shape, go run. That's the Marine Corps motto, unofficial motto. After I got out, every time I'd go running, my knees would hurt. So I just kind of wallowed in public accounting with no physical fitness expression for 10 years. Went into the CrossFit gym at 30, really only the only time I'd ever been into a gym, and stuck with it. And for me, what I love about it is doing things that I never thought I would ever be able to do. So I'm not a genetic freak. I didn't grow up playing football or anything like that. And I'm now in my late 30s, lifting things that I couldn't lift when I was 20 years old. And that's awesome to me and impressive to me. And that's what I love about the sport, is now I coach other people to do the same thing. So I said I've had 60 and 70-year-old compete in my contest. I've also trained with them on a regular basis, and seeing that glow in their face when they do pull a truck or when they lift a stone or they do something, they're like, I struggle bringing in the groceries. I never thought I'd be picking up rocks and putting them onto platforms. For me, that's huge. So the community aspect of that is a big deal for me.
That sense of accomplishment goes an awfully long way, and lets us do things that we might not otherwise ever believe that we could do.
Yes.
I don't know what the answer to this one is. Are there any metaphors or parallels that you can draw between this and what you do for a living? I mean, have you ever thought about that?
I know coming to work every day after hitting something big over the weekend or in the morning just gives you this high that like nothing can touch me for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. I just PR'd my squad or something like that. Or I, over the weekend, I got a Steinborn PR. A Steinborn squat is a very specific type of squat where you pick the bar up without using a squat rack and get it on your back. It's very complicated, very technical. I've been focusing on that for the past couple of weeks for this contest. Mm-hmm. And when you do something like that, you're like, nothing can touch me today. No bad news. You know, I'm just flying high for this. I don't know if that's a metaphor, but it's also... for me in public accounting, and this isn't necessarily tied to strongmen as much as it is also to the status of being a veteran, nothing I've ever encountered or faced in public accounting has ever been harder than something that I haven't done somewhere else. So I'm like, I work in an office, I have air conditioning, I work on a computer all day long. What do I have to complain about? You know, I'm not cleaning bathrooms. I'm not, picking up cigarette butts from other Marines that throw them on the ground. And I'm not, you know, picking up weights and putting them down all day long as my job. I get to do that as a hobby. So that helps put a little bit of perspective or context to public accounting. And then for me, like I said, strongman and community is a big deal. And I do think that there is some carryover for that into public accounting, where we all are better when we are together, when we're sharing things. When I go to a competition, you might be in my weight class and we might be competing for a medal at the end of the day, but I want to see you succeed and I'm going to cheer for you and I'm going to, you know, help you with get your gear on or whatever you might need to hype you up so that you can be the best that you're possibly at. Because when you're playing at your best, it pushes me to try that much harder to bring my best to the contest. And I feel like that in entrepreneurial CPA circles like Thrival, where it's like, yeah, we're competing in the sense that we're both doing public accounting, but I want you to succeed and I know you want me to succeed because this is a huge pond that we're in. And the firms that are doing things that I like, that I would agree with, are a lot smaller than the firms that aren't. And so seeing them grow and seeing them succeed only pushes everybody else towards that direction. And that's kind of how it is with Strongman. It is, yeah, 35,000 members or whatever, but it's still a very small strength community. And anything that raises, you know, it raises all boats kind of thing.
Right, right. That's fantastic. What's your next goal, or what do you want to accomplish next in terms of Strongman? What are you working on?
So I told my coach I bought this 1,000-pound tire about 3 years ago from another Strongman who was getting out of the game. I have not flipped it yet. So that's kind of a goal that I've got. Within stone lifting, there are famous stones that every Strongman kind of aspires to go lift. A lot of them are in Scotland, but we've got some here in the US too. And you just like head to Scotland and you do a tour of all these famous stones to lift. So one of the big ones is the Denny stones. Anybody can look those up. Those are two stones that are, they've got a metal ring anchored into them and you pick them up one in each hand. The combined weight of these stones is about 730 pounds. And breaking the ground with these is like something that people train for a year, 2 years before setting out to do. So that's always going to be on my list. My next contest will be in October that I'm competing in. So I've got some events that I want to train for that one. Yeah, I think that's about it. For me, my goals at this point, 37 years old, I'm looking to be a competitive masters athlete rather than ever making it on the World's Strongest Man. So in the sport, the masters or the age classes start at 40. So within 3 years, then I'll be in that masters group and I'll be strong again. I know I'm, like I said, I'm stronger now than I ever was when I was 20, but it's different competing at 37 against somebody who's 22 years old, you know, and did play college ball and everything like that. So, and then for me, I succeed most when I see the athletes that I'm coaching, like I said, that eyes light up moment and see them hitting goals. We just did a truck pull 2 Saturdays ago, and seeing a couple women that had joined my class who never thought they could ever pull a truck to do that. That empowers you to, like, you run out of gas, you could push your own car if you needed to. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just completely helpless on the side of the road in that situation. You've pulled a truck before. You can push a car. You know. You can help. There's a lot of things that you can do. Yeah, there.
Some practical applications to
yeah, definitely. Yeah. In Strongman, we always joke, I do this for fun. I do this for a hobby. It does not mean I want to help you move this weekend.
Point taken. All right. Well, listen, Barrett, thanks for the stories. Good luck with this. This is certainly a unique hobby, and I'm happy to talk with you about it and have you share that with us. So thanks for that, and keep it up.
Oh, thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate the opportunity.
Cool stuff there this week from Barrett Young. Barrett is a partner with Garbelman Winslow CPAs in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and an avid strongman competitor. You'll find photos of Barrett in action on the MACPA's blog. That's macpa.org/blog. And hey, if you know someone, anyone, and maybe it's you, you know, who has some eye-opening passions that we should share with the greater profession, let me know. I'd love to talk to them. Reach out to me at bill@macpa.org and let me know what you're thinking. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's it, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.